Orthodox Hinduism, by which I mean mainly the Brahmins and their teachings, had never been really happy with Buddhism. Some Brahmins, of course, had become Buddhists. Many of the Buddha's most prominent followers were themselves Brahmins. Sariputra was a Brahmin. Mahamad Galyayana was a Brahmin. They were his two leading disciples. Mahakashyapa was a Brahmin. But later on, the Brahmins became more and more dissatisfied with Buddhism. And this was mainly because Buddhism threatened their very privileged social position. I'm sure most of you are aware, most of you have a sort of general idea about the caste system in India. In India, society is divided into castes. At the very top, you have the Brahmins. Castes, of course, are all hereditary. You have the Brahmins, who are official, at least the teachers, the administrators. Then you have the Kshatriyas, who are the warriors and fighters. Then you've got the Vaishyas, who are the traders, the business people. And then you've got the Shudras, who are the serfs. And lower even than the serfs, you've got the outcasts, the untouchables, who have really no place in society at all, who shouldn't be even seen, according to some Orthodox Hindus. And these castes, these four main castes, are all subdivided, so that in India today you have altogether about 2,000 castes, all mutually exclusive, all, of course, hereditary. This means that there are all sorts of caste rules. You're not supposed, for instance, to intermarry with someone of another caste. If you're quite strict, you're not supposed even to interdine with someone of another caste. And the lower caste, the lowest castes of all, who are so low they don't even, in a sense, have a caste, they are what are called untouchable. That is to say, their touch pollutes. If you happen to touch them, or if their shadow happens to fall upon you, or upon your food, you become polluted. And you cannot be touched, you cannot enter in relations with other members of your own caste until you've purified yourself from that pollution. I can't go into too many details, but this whole system of caste is systematized in various Hindu works which are called Dharma Shastras. The most important of the Dharma Shastras is the Manu Dharma Shastra. It's a very big, thick volume, about 600 pages in the English translation. And he lays down the various duties. Manu, the sort of primeval lawgiver of the Hindus, lays down the rules to be observed by the different castes and the penalties for breaking caste. It's a very, very rigid sort of document. For instance, The person at the very bottom of the social scale, the Shudra, and of course the untouchable, is not allowed to own property. He's not allowed to own property. He's not allowed to wear new clothing. He has to wear the cast-off clothing of the higher castes, according to Manu. And he's not allowed even to cook food for himself. He has to subsist on the leavings of the other castes. And if he does cook, he can only cook in an earthen pot. He can't use a brass pot. And he has to live on the outskirts of the village, or a little separately from the village. And his only wealth, if he said, can be, is dogs and donkeys. He cannot own anything except a dog or a donkey. And his attitude towards the higher caste people must be one of complete subservience. And this is all laid down. You can get the English translation yourself of Manu Shastra and read. This is all laid down by this great Hindu lawgiver. Now, what happened was this. Again, I'm going forward very, very rapidly. In India today, there are about, in the total population, about 80 million people who are either Shudras, serfs, or who are untouchables. According to the constitution of India, according to modern Indian law, untouchability is a penal offence. But there have not yet been any prosecutions under these laws, even though untouchability is widespread in India, especially in the villages. It is practiced still all over the place, as I have personally seen and personally witnessed.